Heather Long joins us again from the Washington Post. She writes about economics there and has been our guest before, talking about, among other things, this proposed tax plan, which Steve just told you passed the House onto the Senate. Hi, Heather. Welcome back. How are you?
Hi. Good to be here. Big day.
Any surprises in this? This is going maybe as we thought. Is anything different in the language? What's jumping out today?
It's going about as smooth as possible today. They even got more votes than expected, as we've talked about before. A lot of folks in California and New York and New Jersey, perhaps some there in that Chicago area, were worried about that state and local tax deduction going away. And so some of those Republican representatives from those areas threatened to vote no. But in the end, they only lost 12 votes. And it passed with an easy margin of 227.
So my SALT deduction is, I'm not going to get that. My state and local taxes, I don't get to deduct that, right?
Well, you can deduct up to $10,000. So it's really the folks, I keep saying, if you're deducting $20,000 or more, this bill is not good for you.
Yeah.
You know, if you're kind of in that $10,000 to $20,000, because the tax rates are going down so much, you're probably still okay. But it really just depends. If you're over about $20,000 to $25,000, this is going to be rough on you.
We talked about this the other day, and I don't know if the information is any clearer to any of us today, Heather, but okay, that's great. That is, the rate's coming down, but I lose the deduction. So now I got to figure out if my deductions will be greater than this new tax rate deduction that I'm going to get. You know, am I going to come out ahead or not? And there are some calculators out there, but I don't know that any of us will really know until we file our 2018 income taxes. Is that right?
Yes and no. I mean, so the president keeps saying you'll start seeing it in February, and people kind of scratch their head like, what do you mean, February? You know, that's a little early. We're not going to file those tax returns for another year. But actually, remember, if most people go to a job and their employer gives them that paycheck every 2 weeks or once a month. And so what he means by that is, starting around February or March, people who are getting those paychecks from their employer are probably going to see larger paychecks, because there won't be as much withheld for federal income taxes.
Well, sure. So. So that's, I mean, yeah, I get that. And I think that will be noticeable and appreciated by most people. My read on this, Heather, is that most people are going to see more money one day magically in their take-home pay, right?
Yeah, so the number to keep in your head, I think we talked about a little bit on the air here before, 85% of Americans next year will see lower taxes, and then only about 5% will see taxes going up. So that other middle, you know, 10 or 15% is going to be about the same. But yeah, the vast majority of these listeners are going to get a tax cut or see no change at all.
Sunday, John Dickerson asked Steve Mnuchin, the Treasury Secretary, about the $1.5 trillion in debt, or maybe more, that this will generate. Mnuchin said that that's simply not true. That's not going to happen. And then he cited other studies that predict that the tax plan will generate more income than it's going to give up. Who should we believe on this?
Well, I'm not usually one to poke fingers, but I think you got to remember that his department, Secretary Mnuchin, was the one that released a one page trying to claim that this tax bill would pay for itself fully. Now, nobody in economics on the left or the right would ever release a one page quote analysis. That's nothing. You know, that's not, that's, your second grader does more homework than that. So, you know, I think you got to take, if you look actually at legit economists from the left and from the right, I was just talking to Glenn Hubbard, who was in the George H.W. Bush administration and in the George W. Bush administration, as Bush's top economist. And he and I were talking about this, and I take his word pretty well. He said, look, this bill is not going to pay for itself. It will definitely add to the deficit. You know, the question is the bill still worth doing? And the Republican side says, yes, it is, because the biggest problem in America is we've had slow growth, and this is our best chance, you know, to get businesses back here and to try to boost the growth. And that's what they think the biggest problem is. You know, folks on the left and folks who are concerned about the debt and the deficit say, I don't know if I think this bill is good enough. Yes, we needed to make some changes to the corporate tax side, but this bill is just, it sets up too much of a painful situation in the next 3 to 5 years where we're back at the same place and we have to decide, do we raise taxes then or do we cut Social Security and Medicare? And that's a painful decision.
The number I have in my head is like 75% or 85%, and it was something like the ratio of the debt that we'll have on the books, $20 trillion, to the GDP of the country. And it's getting, those two numbers are getting closer and closer together. Do you know what I'm talking about there?
Yeah, you're right. So, you know, at the moment we're sitting around around 70% to 75% debt to GDP ratio. So what that means is, you know, you take a country like Greece or Japan, which are some of the most heavily indebted countries in the world, and they have spent basically 2 times the size of their economy. They're in debt. You know, that's just crazy amounts, like 200%, 150%, 200%. For most of the world, people get really nervous when you get about 100%. So that, you know, think about it, like if you borrowed your entire value of your house, that's a pretty scary place to be. And that's kind of what we're talking about when you get to a debt to GDP ratio of 100%. So right now we're at about 75. After this bill passes and given the already growing debt we were originally forecast to have even without this bill, we're supposed to rise in the next 10 years to about 85 to 90% debt to GDP. So we're getting close, and that's what we're where these red flags are going off. At some point, you know, this is going to start to really hurt the economy.
Well, boy, macroeconomics must be different than my household version, because if we had a $200,000 house and we were getting close to $200,000 in debt, I wouldn't sleep at night. I don't know what a healthy number is for an economy. Like, debt can be good and a useful instrument. I get that. But this just sounds crazy to me.
Again, that's the problem. Nobody knows, and I was talking to a bunch of experts today, again, from the left to the right, and, you know, there's a big disagreement about what you're just saying. What is that number that's really going to cause problems? And at the moment, we just keep adding it because China and Japan and Europe, folks around the world keep buying our debt. And as long as they're buying, as long as that appetite, as America's bonds are seen as super safe, we're fine to issue debt. But does there come a day when those countries no longer want to buy, and then it does become problematic?
So we are
nobody really wants to find out.
Yeah. So I'm sending money via my tax debt service to China and Japan and other countries, peoples who are buying our bonds. Is that right?
Yes, a very significant part of those repayments are going overseas. That's right.
So this is Reagan's trickle-down economics, or is this different, what we're banking on here?
A lot of it is. The big difference in this bill is, you know, back in the Reagan era, they were really, the main goal was to lower those tax rates on individuals, so the wealthy and the middle class. The difference here is the real driver of this bill is to lower the tax rates on corporations.
Yeah.
And about everybody agrees that America's tax rate at 35% is not, you know, our corporate tax rate is too high. You know, when Ireland's down at 12%, most of Europe's down around 20 to 25, you know, we really can't be at 35. That's not competitive.
Yeah.
Democrats agree with that too. You know, the question was, how low did it go? The question was, what happened to the notion when we started this process? The president and the Congress, Republicans kept saying, oh, it's okay, we're going to lower the rate, but we're also going to eliminate loopholes so we won't add anything to the debt. Well, that's not what happened at the end of the day. We lowered that corporate tax rate, but we didn't close many loopholes, and that's why we have a bill that's going to add to the debt.
Anything else you think I should know relative to all of this? Looks like it's going to pass, so in February, I might have more money in my paycheck. Any other red flags or white flags, good signs that stand out to you, Heather?
Honestly, I think what I keep reminding people, and I was getting emails from readers all weekend, I actually think this bill could very well play well for Republicans in 2018, despite the fact that it's longer term likely to add to the debt, longer term likely to make inequality worse. The reality is the U.S. economy is humming along. Unemployment can easily drop below 4% next year for the first time since that boom time in the 1990s and the dot-com era. We can easily see a couple of quarters of close to 4% growth. that dream number Trump was talking about. And, you know, if that scenario could very easily play out, and whether or not the tax bill helped or hurt that doesn't matter for most minds of most voters. They've got more money in their pocket, they're seeing better economic numbers, and that could play well in 2018.
One of my listeners, real quick, just texted, what happens with personal exemptions on the 1040 forms?
Yeah, that's the best question. You kind of alluded to this earlier. So personal exemptions are going away. So that's why you hear these concerns from larger families. One of my colleagues did a story about a lot of large families in Utah who are actually going to be worse off from this bill, because even though the standard deduction is going up, it's basically doubling, you lose that personal exemption. At the moment, you can take that fourth $4,050 personal exemption and multiply it by every member of your household. So if you've got, you know, 8 kids, 10 kids, that's a lot of extra money you were able to deduct that you will no longer be able to deduct.
Well, will I claim myself and my spouse?
That's right. So it would have been you, your spouse, and every child living with you.
But I'm not going to get that. I'm not going to get that anymore.
That's right. That's gone away.
How about me? But so, do I get to claim myself? Do I? No, I don't. It's just I have the standard deduction.
You have the standard, and that's doubled. So for you and your wife, it will now be $24,000 on the standard deduction. So again, for a lot of families two to four people, not much of a difference. That's basically a wash, getting rid of that personal exemption, but expanding that standard deduction. But as your family gets larger, it's not a wash.
So will it be good? And I understand your point, I think. Will it be good for Republicans in 2018 because we're better off, or because the ways that we're worse off are just so hard to understand?
Well, a bit of both. Depends if you're an optimist or a pessimist, or what your political leanings are. But but the reality is, we are spending $1.5 trillion on this tax cut, so we're going to get some boost next year, and the economy will be better. The question is that momentum going to keep going? A lot of economists say no, and that's what makes us worse off in the long term.
Heather Long writes for The Washington Post. Thanks for your time, Heather.
Thank you. Take care.